the legislature didn't meet back on the Monday because of the Martin Luther King holiday. And the week before, you know, you had all the other things going on with the inaugural at the end, but still did push through things. I'm thinking most everybody's heard, obviously, the big one that's been moving ahead pretty quickly, school choice, the school choice funding issue. And again, we've talked about that in the past. It's one of those yep. things you've been a supporter of ever since you went down there. Again, it has made its way through the Senate. It did before. The House is where it kind of hung up before.
Yeah. So this year the makeup of the legislature has changed so much from last year. Naturally, that's the case because of redistricting. It's kind of like reshuffling the deck automatically because of that. Every 10 years, but also because of the political dynamics between such a popular governor like Reynolds. And she didn't come here just to, she's got a vision, and she wants to see that vision become a reality. And so in this change in environment with redistricting and school choice getting hung up in the House, she got involved in some of the primaries, and a lot of people were kind of skeptical, is that the right thing to do for a governor to do and whatnot. But when she got involved, she got behind some candidates and was very highly successful in those races. And so it appears that she has the support for the vision that she has consistently laid out for years now. I'll never forget that moment at the governor's condition of the state address when she laid out her plan for school choice, and it far exceeded a lot of people's expectations as far as how bold that plan was going to be. But that is reflective of her character and her strength politically. And so it's been a fascinating couple weeks trying to get our hands around that bill and to get it through the process. But I sit on Appropriations Committee, and so a bill like this naturally goes through Appropriations. So I had the opportunity to sit down and look through that bill through that, but also was honored to be a substitute Education Committee member for a day to be able to look at the bill through that committee as well and place a vote on it. I substituted for Senator Brad Zahn. He was out of town for work, so that was a fun experience as well. So I anticipate that we'll be voting on this bill next week, and it'll be another exciting week. But it'll be fun to kind of get this off the table once and for all. We've been talking about this for years. Some people are afraid that or say that we're moving too fast on this bill. It's like, come on, guys. Like, for years and years that we've been talking about this. It's nothing new. We are trying to get more accurate numbers on the price tag of this bill. We are talking a lot of dollars with this bill, and so so that is one thing I do hope that we get a little bit more information on before next week.
That's, yeah, because those are some of the things where your legislative council, because that's what they do, is pretty much nonpartisan. They take a look at numbers, just strictly numbers aspects and things like that, and they'll give you that information as you go forward, too. So, but that's been one thing. One thing I did want to ask, because I know the governor did announce one of the, because she did say during her condition of the state address, that she is looking to do some department consolidation, you know, trying to streamline that. And she did do an announcement already with the Iowa Veterans Home and Veterans Commission, Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, and so this year I'm not on Veterans Affairs Committee, so I'm also not on Human Resources anymore. So there's some of these things that she talked about in her condition of the state speech that I haven't personally sat down and looked at. The education bill has sucked up so much air out of the room I think most attention for legislators has been on that. And then once we get that off the table, we'll be able to look at some of these other things that she proposed. I mean, within the first 30 days, we have to lay out an SSA number for schools to work off of for mm-hmm. their budgets. And that is always our first priority that we have to take care of.
And she did put a number out there during her condition of the state address. What was it, 2.5% or so, I think?
Yeah, so every year it seems like that 2.5% is pretty consistent. When you look back over history, it used to be about 4% was pretty consistent. But and so when you look on the surface of that, you would say, well, There's obviously a change in priorities between the when Democrats were in control versus the Republicans, but you got to go underneath the surface to get the real grip on those numbers. Since in the last 5 years or so, we have spent a lot of money on transportation equity that helps out rural schools that have higher transportation costs. That's not reflected within that SSA number. We have also done things to loosen some of the funding silos that prevent schools from using money that can only be used for certain things, but give them the flexibility to spend it on other things. We've been working on that, and we're continuing to work on it this year. So all in all, in the last 10 years, though, if you just look at that SSA number, we've actually increased funding by 34% in the last 10 years. One can argue that might not be enough or is enough, but that's still a pretty big number. So I'm pretty proud of what we've invested in that.
I did want to go back on the school choice thing, because I know some people will say, well, you know, they're hearing one side, or they've got one side of the argument, the other side of the argument. You're kind of in the spot, because you have some private schools here in your district. You had some previously as well, and you also have a lot of rural schools that are concerned about what's going to be happening with their students and their funding. So you get both sides, I'm sure.
Oh, certainly. But this is where I feel very confident on this issue, because you know, I had a four-way primary when I got elected a couple years ago, so I was able to lay my heart and thoughts out on this issue and very clearly, and so I haven't really had to wrestle with my position on this. I focus on a student, whether they're a public or a faith-based worldview student, doesn't matter. I want what the choice is for every student in this district, and I think this bill is best able to do that. And when I have conversations with constituents, the number one thing that I think most people don't see clearly right away is that there's three sources of funding for education. There's federal dollars, there's state dollars, and there's property tax dollars. And the only dollars that I, as a legislator, have a say on is the state dollars. And so once you connect with a taxpayer or a constituent on that issue, you can start to get a little more truthful clarity on this conversation, and the defenses go down. It's an emotional topic, and rightly so. We all care about our next generation and our education system. And so that's always the first step that I go to in this conversation, is making sure that the understanding is there, that we're not talking about all funding for education following a child. We're talking about a small portion of it that is going to follow a child into public, private, or any accredited environment.
Sure. Well, I know we'll watch what's happening, because apparently both the floor of the House, the Senate, will get it. Guessing both compromise or similar type or comparable type legislation. So when it goes back and forth in that could be one that will go fairly quickly.
Yeah, and one thing that I see is happening is that there have been some very good points that have been brought up through this conversation, like about special needs students or IEP students, mm-hmm. that private schools are not required to have to teach. And it sounds like that we're going to be coming up with some additional legislation further down the road that will create this public-private partnership to make sure that if a special needs child and their family wants a faith-based education, that we can provide that. And so I appreciate how there are going to be some other things that are addressed to make sure that most people at the table are satisfied with this bill.
All right. I know you chair local government. Did you have a chance to have your committee meeting?
Yes, and it's a little bit different running a committee. Both times I've had to learn some of the procedures that I messed up on a little bit, when to take a vote, when not to take a vote. So that's been kind of fun and entertaining. But this week in local government, we received an amazing presentation from 3D housing experts. And this is a new technology is coming on online. I believe this is going to be the future to addressing our housing issues. I believe housing and workforce are the two biggest issues facing in the state of Iowa in attracting a workforce and keeping a workforce here. And I was just blown away by that presentation. And in local government, that's going to be one of the issues we try to tackle is how can we make things more affordable in rural Iowa for housing. The second issue that we're going to be talking about local government in my committee is compensation board reform. The vast majority of county supervisors either land on let's get rid of the compensation board or let's reform the compensation board and allow our elected officials to have more power and ability to adjust salaries within the courthouses accordingly. So that's going to be a fun topic. And lastly, in local government that I think you'll be seeing hit the news is in regards to large populated counties. There's a lot of counties like Johnston, I believe Linn County, Scott County. Those are just a few examples, Dallas, that just have a few supervisors, and they're at-large elected. So is Boone County, but Boone County has a lot lighter population. And in those districts, you have 3 to 5 supervisors that live within a couple blocks of each other. And I think that most people, especially in the rural parts of those counties, think that's not right, and that they don't have a proper any say whatsoever in their county supervisor boards. And so we're working on a bill right now that will be dropping soon that will create a little bit of a controversy, but I think in the end is good legislation for the state of Iowa.
I know, yeah, that's one of the things, and I've heard it come up locally too. Do we take a look at districts? Do we add and have 5 instead of 3? Those kinds of things. And so far, it's been at like kind of a local level, but very few of them actually change. They pretty well, you know, they go with what they've had for a number of years, and so different counties, different methods.
Well, you know what a little time I've been around Boone County, for example, it seems like you do wind up having that rural, a strong rural voice on those county boards. And again, that's local control. They have the choice to go to districts if they want. But in these larger districts and or counties, I think Story County is a classic case. We in the state house have to sometimes have a top-down approach on some legislation because, for example, we had a septic tank bill last year that normally I would say is a local control issue, but they were going to require rural residents to have to pump out their septic tanks, I believe it was every 5 years. Well, that's a burden on the rural taxpayer that people in Ames don't have to worry about. And so I was getting all kinds of calls like, hey, help us out here. Like, this is a big burden that we don't believe we have a say on. So. Yeah. I don't want to have to continue working on bills like that just because, you know, a small handful of people just do not have a voice on the county boards.
Well, that'll be interesting to watch that go along. That's, you mentioned there's a few others too that I thought were. I don't know about calling the compensation board fun, but that's for a lot of people, they don't understand it, where each elected official. Has a person that represents them, and then the compensation board gets together and they try to see what balances. I think the only time the legislature's been involved is on a Back the Blue legislation where you look to increase for law enforcement, at least the sheriff and things like that.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a classic case that will help your listeners kind of see maybe some of the tension that exists within a courthouse. Take, for example, like a county treasurer who has been there for 30 years and has done a good job, like and naturally gets increases every few years to the salary, and then at the end of that 30 years has a real big salary. And then all of a sudden you get a brand new treasurer that's elected just doesn't have quite the experience, but in a situation like that, the county supervisors don't have any wiggle room whatsoever to lower that salary. And I think most would agree that a new treasurer that's coming in, probably it's okay to start them out at a lesser salary. So that's one classic example to help somebody kind of wrap their mind around that issue.
Anyway, compensation boards are interesting things all on their own.
Yeah.
So that's the only place I see those is at the at that county level, too. And that's it. But it is, I think, what? It's been set up by legislation. And so that's what you have to do is take a look at it, too.
Some would argue that state legislators are in the Capitol that we should have a compensation board because it's really hard to vote on your own salary and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I believe elected officials, sometimes we have to make those tough votes sometimes and tough choices, and that's what we were put there to do.
So. Any of your other committees, you did say you got to do a little, fill in on education, helping there?
Yeah. So this year, my four committees is appropriations instead of ways and means. Last year, I was ways and means. I am still on ag and natural resource, and then I chair local government. So it's really rare to see them substitute a senator for on a committee for just one vote. But in this case, it was a good opportunity for me to be able to learn more about the bill. And one of our senators was gone. So I was honored that they picked me to be on education for a day.
Okay. So, and that, by the way, chaired by Amy Sinclair, isn't it?
Yeah. Amy Sinclair is, she's been there for a long time. She's our Senate president. No, she does not chair education committee, but she is on it, because they're just, she's got the most experience in the building on education policy, and so that is a unique change this year, is that we put the Senate president on a committee like that.
Okay. A little different there, too. Any of the others, ag, natural resources, did you guys have any kind of meetings or anything, just mostly organizational or anything you see setting up?
Well, just organizational, but it's surprising how many calls I do get about natural resource issues. And I think it's really fun. It allows me an opportunity to work with the DNR, learn more about those departments. And there's some sensitive issues that come up with that. And just last week, I had a constituent that is having drones fly over their private property anytime, like during deer season, anytime that there was a gunshot, you would see drones flying over his property, and he's got cattle and stuff like that. And it turned out that the drone spooked his cattle, and one of them got hurt, and he's furious. And so I got a phone call on that, and right now I'm researching on, is there something that we could do to give him some recourse?
Sure.
And I don't know. I mean, and some people are going to be so mad they're going to start shooting drones if they see that. And so I think it's going to require legislation to help sort out those situations. So so that's the only issue for me that's come up in natural resource. I've had some horse lovers that have come to me wanting some adjustments when it comes to equestrian campgrounds and some safety issues. So I'm hoping to help them out on natural resource committee. In ag, we just had one meeting. And I haven't quite heard some of the priorities that are coming out of that. It's been so active in ag the last couple of years. I kind of anticipate maybe there won't be too much coming out of that this session.
Slow down a little bit, probably.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the ag secretary is going to have a few things that'll come to. Probably. Fine tuning some things that have been started, because you always get those. So too.
Well, the ethanol bill that was passed last year, I do see that there could be some touch-up on that, but that the ethanol bill, for example, would come out of commerce or maybe a different committee than ag. So
yeah, there are still things, because we know once you get by, you know, the high-profile things, too, at the same time, I know you have committees, you have people that are just going back, this is what we did last time, and we need to have a little correction or make this adjustment. Or a few years ago we did this. This is where we seem to be headed. We have to make an adjustment or kind of fine-tune some things that were done in the past. Those are the ones where we don't hear much about, but that's a lot of your busy work once you get going.
Well, you know, the ethanol bill is a classic one. I would have to say the 2 years that I've been in the legislature, that was the biggest bill I had my hands around and the toughest bill. That was a very tough vote for me because I didn't know how it was going to impact some of the small retailers. But we came to a compromise, and this year I anticipate that at some point that we're probably going to be talking some additional dollars to go into the infrastructure program that's set up to help these gas stations adjust to the ethanol bill. Sure. And to build the proper tanks and pumps that they need and stuff. So that's a classic example of a touch-up bill on a huge piece of legislation like that.
Well, even last year when it came up, you said, I don't know how we're going to do all of this, meet all of the things that we spelled out in the bill. But that happens. That happens. We know that you got that part done. You knew, and I'm guessing others know, that you're going to make some adjustments.
Well, so, yeah, your listeners have probably heard me say in that bill is by 2026 that some of these adjustments were going to have to be made, or some of these construction projects were going to have to be done for these retailers. It's like, who came up with that? Like, there's just no way. And so it's pretty hard to put a yes vote on something when you know it's not possible to attain something like that. But there's so many other ways that we can adjust a regulation like that through the rules process, through maybe another bill down the road, but yeah, it's, as a fresh legislator coming in, it's like, I know that's not right. And so it was a learning experience.
Well, I know it's going to be busy going forward. Again, most of the focus on the school choice, but there's so many other things that'll be coming up here very quickly for you too. So I do appreciate you taking time to visit with us. What do you think next week? What's going on? And if people are coming down to visit you, get a hold of you early, right?
You bet. That's my favorite thing is when constituents come down. I've had a couple come down and I've given tours. Next week, I anticipate the bill, I sure hope will get passed and get to the governor's desk on school choice. I've been advocating to either have the bill signing in Boone or in Fort Dodge, one of the two. Fort Dodge is where I grew, went to private school up there when I was little. So we'll see how much leverage I have on that, but I'm crossing my fingers that maybe there's a small chance that we might have some excitement here in Boone with a bill signing. So, okay. So we'll see. It's going to be exciting.
All right. Do appreciate you taking time visiting with us this week, and I'll look forward to making contact with you early next week, and we'll see what we can set up to keep people informed about what's happening with the legislature. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.